U.S. investigates genocide in Myanmar and commits genocide in Yemen. Rarely is U.S. hypocrisy so cynical and overt as a recent U.S. State Department investigation into ongoing violence in Myanmar, all while the U.S. continues its full-spectrum support of Saudi Arabia's genocidal war on Yemen. In addition to Washington's role in Yemen, the U.S. also occupies Afghanistan and Syria while carrying out drone strikes and covert military interventions in territory stretching from North Africa to Central Asia. In Myanmar, specifically, the U.S. has openly and for decades funded and supported groups and individuals involved directly in ongoing ethnic violence. Now it is leveraging that violence to single out obstacles to U.S. influence in Southeast Asia and in Myanmar specifically. Reuters, in their article titled "The U.S. Accuses Myanmar Military of Planned and Coordinated Rohingya Atrocities," claimed, "A U.S. government investigation has found that Myanmar military waged a well-planned and coordinated campaign of mass killings, gang rapes, and other atrocities against the Southeast Asian nation's Rohingya Muslims minority." Reuters admits the U.S. State Department report titled "Documentation of Atrocities in Northern Rakhine State" was in fact merely interviews conducted with alleged witnesses in neighboring Bangladesh. Was it really an investigation? Imagine a fight breaks out between two groups of people. The police are called in, but instead of arriving at the crime scene, the police instead interview only one group and do so at their home before drawing their final conclusions. Would anyone honestly call this an investigation? The U.S. State Department apparently would, because this is precisely what the State Department has done in regards to ongoing ethnic violence in Myanmar. The full report found on the U.S. State Department's website admitted that the Bureau of Intelligence and Research, INR, with funding support from the Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights and Labor, DRL, conducted a survey in spring 2018 of the first-hand experiences of 1,024 Rohingya refugees in Cox Bazar District, Bangladesh. The goal of the survey was to document atrocities committed against the residents in Burma's northern Rakhine State during the course of violence in the previous 2 years. No physical evidence was collected or presented in the report, because investigators never stepped foot in Myanmar itself where the violence took place. The report also failed to interview other parties involved in the violence. While the witness accounts in the U.S. State Department's investigation were shocking, had investigators gone to Rakhine State and interviewed locals there, the accounts require fairer and impartial investigation. However, the U.S. State Department, by exclusively interviewing only one party amid multi-party ethnic violence, all but ensures nothing resembling a real investigation ever takes place. This, of course, assumes that the United States of America has any authority as arbiter in Myanmar's internal affairs in the first place. The U.S. State Department investigation follows a similar UN report which mirrored and admittedly used similar claims made by the U.S. and European-funded funds posing as non-governmental organizations, NGOs. Together, these efforts represent a cycle of propaganda cynically aimed at leveraging ethnic violence within and along Myanmar's borders to pressure and coerce the government of Myanmar in regards to its growing ties with China. This is a fact that even Reuters, in its article, concedes to, I'll be buried deep within the body of the text. Myanmar, which borders China, seeks, like the rest of Southeast Asia, closer ties to Beijing as the region collectively rises economically and politically on the global stage. Attempts by Western capitals to reassert and expand their former colonial influence have manifested itself in political meddling. It should be noted that the US and UK's leveraging of ethnic violence in modern-day Myanmar is a continuation of ethnic divisions intentionally cultivated by the British Empire to divide and rule Myanmar when it was a British colony. It is worth repeating that Channel 4, one of Britain's own public service broadcasters, in an article titled A Brief History of Burma, aptly described the very source of Myanmar's current ethnic division, saying, "Throughout their empire, the British used a policy called divide and rule, where they played upon ethnic differences to establish their authority. This policy was applied rigorously in Burma. More than 1 million Indian and Chinese migrants were brought in to run the country's affairs, and thousands of Indian troops were used to crush Burmese resistance. In addition, hill tribes, which had no strong Burmese affiliation, such as the Karen in the southeast, were recruited into ethnic regiments of the colonial army." The article also admitted that the British divide-and-rule policy left a legacy of problems for Burma when it regained independence. Not only has the British divide-and-rule policy left a legacy of problems for Myanmar since gaining its independence, these are problems Washington is now cynically exploiting in its own interpretation of divide-and-rule. Often omitted in US-European media reports, Aung San Suu Kyi, de facto leader of Myanmar's government, is the product of decades of US and British political and financial backing. Virtually every aspect of Aung San Suu Kyi's government, including high-level ministers, are the result of US-European training, funding, and support. The government's Minister of Information, for example, received US-funded training in neighboring Thailand before working his way up Aung San Suu Kyi's US-backed opposition party. Another aspect omitted by the US-European media is the fact that the most prominent so-called pro-democracy leaders, supported by Washington and London, have openly been involved in calling for, promoting, and defending ethnic violence against Myanmar's Rohingya minority, violence now being leveraged by Washington to place pressure on Myanmar and foil growing ties with China. This includes NED Democracy awardee Min Ko Nang, who denied the Rohingya as an ethnic group in Myanmar, suggesting they were merely illegal immigrants. It also includes Ko Ko Gi, who openly vowed to take up arms against the Rohingya, whom he called foreign invaders. More telling of Washington's lack of convictions in protecting the Rohingya and instead cynically exploiting Myanmar's ethnic tensions is the fact that Ko Ko Gi was invited to speak in Washington, D.C. a year after pledging to take up arms against the Rohingya. It should be pointed out that Ko Ko Gi's pro-genocide remarks were made in a U.S. National Endowment for Democracy, NED, funded publication, the Irrawaddy, and it was the U.S. NED who invited him to speak in Washington a year after, meaning that those in Washington were well aware of exactly who and what Ko Ko Gi really was. Founding member of Aung San Suu Kyi's political party, the National League for Democracy, NLD, Yu Win Tin, awarded Journalist of the Year by Reporters Without Borders in 2006, would suggest that the Rohingya be interned in camps. It's clear that, at the very least, it is more than just Myanmar's military involved in ethnic violence inside Myanmar. It is also clear that the US and its European partners and the virtual army of France posing as NGOs have selectively investigated and reported on Myanmar's ethnic violence to single out and undermine the military alone, while providing impunity to anti-Rohingya extremists backed for years by the US government. The very fact that the US has backed those involved in ethnic violence in Myanmar and that their role continuously goes unreported in various US government and US-funded NGO investigations illustrates an additional and major crisis of credibility regarding Washington's self-appointed role as arbiter in Myanmar. This U.S. strategy of cultivating animosity on all sides, providing impunity to some while singling out others, ensures Myanmar remains divided and weak. While the U.S. and its European partners can pick apart Myanmar's military and any civilian politicians who refuse to tilt Myanmar away from Beijing and back toward Anglo-American influence, it is another example of the American-dominated international human rights racket advancing Western interests merely behind pro-human rights rhetoric, often at the cost of undermining real human rights. While supposed NGOs funded by the US, UK, and certain European nations pose as dedicated to human rights in Myanmar, they are in fact foreign fronts meddling in Myanmar's internal affairs. And because of the selective nature of their investigations, they are in fact enabling those involved in atrocities who are currently in Washington's, London's, and Brussels' good graces. The final and perhaps central reality that exposes the disingenuous and cynical nature of the U.S. State Department's so-called investigation into Myanmar's violence is the fact that, concurrently, the United States of America is carrying out a war by proxy against the impoverished, war-torn Middle Eastern nation of Yemen. There, the U.S. has provided its partners in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, with weapons, intelligence, and other forms of direct material support in carrying out the brutal and systematic destruction of the nation's infrastructure, including the blockading and takeover of ports where essential food, medicine, and other necessities are just barely trickling through. A March 2018 report posted on the U.N.'s website titled UN Renews Push for Political Solution as Yemen Marks 3 years of all-out conflict would admit that up to 22 million people were in dire need of humanitarian assistance. The report would also note the deaths of thousands of children along with the closure of some 2,500 schools. Another report by the UN High Commission for Human Rights noted that the US proxy war on Yemen has caused over 17,000 civilian casualties. The U.S. actively enables atrocities in Yemen while investigating atrocities in Myanmar based purely on U.S. geopolitical objectives, not any sort of genuine or even semi-genuine concern for human life. For the US-UK funded fronts posing as NGOs and meddling in Myanmar under the presence of defending human rights, the fact that they claim to fight for human rights while being funded by and working for the demonstrably worst human rights abusers on the planet eliminates whatever legitimacy remains after already taking into account their belated and purposeful investigations. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, what you heard was by Joseph Thomas, the chief editor of Thailand-based geopolitical journal The New Atlas. Many thanks for being with us.